The fire marshal came by about 2 weeks ago, and he said, you need panic bars on those doors. So we've got panic bars now. If you panic, you can get out of here pretty easy. Don't have to worry about being locked in and burned up. We needed to change our batteries. We got the batteries and our emergency lights going. All of our fire extinguishers have been inspected. Folks, we are right on par. You are safe as a bug in a rug right here. We had two of our guys work 7 hours putting in those panic bars. Jinky and Glenn, they don't like me talking about them. But folks, they came up here and put those bars on for free, and we appreciate that. They look good, and we're glad that they did that. We're thankful for that. We're glad that you're here tonight, especially anybody who's visiting. We appreciate you coming. Last week, we started a lesson, and it was entitled, Overcoming Anxiety. Folks, our Father in heaven desires for us to have an abundant life. John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The word life in the Greek is zoe, Z-O-E. And it means abundant life now and in the hereafter. Our God does not intend for us to live miserable lives in this present world. He intends for us to live abundant lives. Lives that are full of good things. And He teaches us ways to overcome all kinds of adversity and difficulties in our lives. And there are many individuals who struggle with anxiety. And we talked about last week some of the facts with regard to anxiety. And secondly, we talked about some of the causes of anxiety. And tonight we're going to be dealing solely with one thing, and that is this: how to overcome anxiety. We mentioned that there are some anxiety cases that are clinical in nature. By that we mean they are have to do with our physical being and our physical makeup. And in order to overcome that kind of anxiety, you may have to see a doctor. You may have to see a psychiatrist. You may have to go to a counselor. You may have to take medication. And there is absolutely nothing wrong in having to do those kind of things. Folks, we've got to get away from this concept that if I go to the doctor, I'm a crazy person. That's not the case. Sometimes we need the benefits of science to help us live profitable, good lives while we're here. But most of us don't deal with that kind of anxiety. We deal from what may be referred to as situational anxiety. From time to time in our lives, we find ourselves agitated inside. We find ourselves having those feelings of unease and those feelings of discontent. And oftentimes they have to do with future things, don't they? And tonight we're going to be talking about how to overcome those kind of anxieties. And there's three areas that we could talk about in a great bit of detail. One of them is this: physically caring for yourself. The second involves relaxation techniques. And the third one is what God says we need to do in order to deal with anxiety. We're going to spend most of our time on that last point. But let's talk very quickly about those first two, because you see, I don't get to talk about fat brethren very often. And that's the very first point. Folks, we need to take care of ourselves physically. Oftentimes, some of the reason that we have the stress and oftentimes the reason we have the unease and the difficulties in our lives is because we don't take care of ourselves physically. We need to have a proper diet, do we not? If we are overweight, we need to acknowledge that and we need to do our best to deal with that and to lose as much of that weight as we possibly can. We need to exercise on a regular basis. We need to rid ourselves of all of those bad habits, smoking, drinking, anything that is negative in nature. Folks, we need to make certain that we get the proper amount of sleep, and we need to go to the doctor. It's amazing how many of my brethren despise doctors. Ain't going no doctor. Folks, sometimes we need doctors, you know that? I don't want to find out too late that I got something that's going to kill me, do you? Folks, I want to find that thing out early. You're talking about anxiety. That'd be horrible, would it not? Just found out today that one of our friends over in Brooklyn, Arkansas, diagnosed with a brain tumor and going to have surgery Wednesday. And she's a young lady, a little bit younger than I am. Folks, those are scary things. We need to take care of ourselves physically. And when we do, that helps to decrease anxiety. Not going to spend a lot of time there. You can deal with those issues. Point number two, relaxation techniques. Sometimes when you get feelings of uneasiness, you just need to learn how to relax. Sometimes we say this, you need to take a chill pill. Or sometimes we might just look at somebody and say, why don't you just chill out? Folks, you may need to just get aside, get into a room, sit down in a chair, and just deep breathe. I used to come home in the evenings from Federal Express about 4:30 in the morning, and I knew I only had 3 hours before I had to be up, ready to go to my next job. I'd sit down, and a big lazy boy, and I'd just sit there, and I'd just deep breathe for about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes later, I was out like a light. 2 hours later, I was awake, ready to go to the job again. But folks, sometimes you just need to relax, don't you? You go into Walgreens and you start walking down the aisles and they have this little display there, don't they? And they have about 20 different kinds of CDs you can buy. Relaxation CDs. Ocean CDs. Chirping bird CDs. Adele, I don't know, all kinds of stuff that they have that you can listen to. Folks, find something that you enjoy, sit down, and listen to 30 or 40 minutes of those kind of things. Another thing they talk about is massaging. Now, Kathleen, if I talk about this too much, I'm going to be up a creek. She loves massages. But folks, sometimes they say just get little balls and just roll them in your hand. Take off your shoes. Put some golf balls under your feet. Just roll them on your feet. You'd be surprised how relaxing that is. In fact, that's what I may do when I get through here tonight. Just go buy Kathleen a few golf balls. But there's another way to deal with anxiety. And folks, that's just telling yourself that I need to calm down just a little bit. I don't know, as I get older, little things have a tendency to bother me. Seemed like used to when I was young. I just run into my office and I just get right to business. And now sometimes I know that I've got about 10 little piddly things that I have to do. I got to go in and I got to fill up my glass to drink out of. I got to wash my glasses. Didn't used to have glasses. Got to wash those things off and get them ready. Got to mail a couple of letters. Check an email or two. Put a Facebook post up. Maybe write a devotional for the webpage. All these little bitty things that need to get done. And folks, when I walk in, I'm just a little bit agitated. I think, oh, I got to get all this little stuff done. And I just start talking to myself and I tell myself this, Vic, one thing at a time. Just one thing at a time. 15 minutes later, it's all done and I'm ready to get with it, folks. Sometimes you just have to do that. Here's another thing they tell you to do. Visualization techniques. Sit down and imagine that you're in a beautiful mountain setting. You're there with a glowing fire and the snow's falling all outside and you've got nowhere you need to be for the next month. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Some individuals like to imagine themselves down at the beach, don't they? Kick your shoes off, sit in your chair, and just listen to those waves rolling in. Maybe you like to go out into the woods and you like to sit by one of those rustling brooks and just listen to that brook as it passed by and the cool wind that's there. One individual said they'd like to visualize Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Folks, every one of those pictures are quiet, peaceful, restful settings, are they not? If we follow our shepherd, guess where He leads us? He leads us into calm surroundings. And just think of yourself as one of those sheep and in one of those beautiful settings in which the Lord has led you. Now that's all the psychobabble that you have with regard to anxiety and overcoming it. But folks, some of those things work for individuals, I guarantee you. But I don't want to spend my time there. We need to get into the Word of God, and we need to see what the Word of God has to say with ways that you and I can overcome some of this anxiety, some of these uneasy feelings that we bring upon ourselves and upon our lives. And we're going to be talking about 8 things tonight that you and I can implement. Now folks, here's something we first need to understand. You and I must become students of the Word of God. I teach a how to study the Bible class, and tonight you need at least 3 of those rules of Bible study to apply to your life. One of those is this. You and I need to memorize the Word of God. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119:11. Folks, there's times when I can't carry this book with me. There are times when I'm in a setting when it's not appropriate just to open my Bible and start reading. But I can memorize the Word of God, and I can have it on hand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, can I not? If I will take the time to memorize it. You can use all the excuses in the world as to why you can't. Folks, you need to memorize the Word of God. Secondly, we need to meditate upon what God's Word has to say, don't we? We have free time during the day, and we need to stop, and we need to chew the cud, so to speak. That's what that word literally means, meditate, chew the cud. To ruminate, to bring it back to mind, and constantly be thinking about it. The blessed man does that, according to Psalm 1, verse 2. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Folks, we need individuals who can bring the Word of God up and think about it on a constant basis. All of a sudden, I have a couple of minutes free time. I want to think about this verse, or I want to think about that verse. Vic mentioned a verse in his lesson that has to do with anxiety. I need to think about that, ponder that. Folks, you can memorize the Word of God. You can think about the Word of God all day long. But eventually, guess what we have to do? We have to make application of that Word in our lives. Don't we? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1, verse 22. So now I've got the Word of God memorized. I thought about it. And now I need to ask myself, where can I apply this to my life? And folks, these 8 things that we're going to be talking about over the next few moments are things that you and I can apply on a regular basis to our lives. I've got a list of them so I don't forget a thing. Number 1, you and I need to learn how to pray to our God. We mentioned at the close of last week's lesson, did we not? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, says this, "Be careful for nothing." Folks, that means don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But then he continues by saying this, "But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Folks, you and I need to learn to go into our closets and pray. Whatever it is that's bothering me, whatever it is that has my life in turmoil, whatever it is that is bringing me all of these feelings of uneasiness, I go to the throne of God, listen to me, and I dump them at His feet. Just dump them, folks. I don't care if it is a truckload of things. Put them right there at the throne of the living God. He wants you to do that. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Write down Psalm 55, verse 22. For there the psalmist again exhorts us to cast all of our cares upon God, folks. He wants those cares. He wants those burdens. He wants all of our tribulations. Now, does that take deep faith? Absolutely. I've got to believe first there is a God in heaven. I got to believe, secondly, that there is a God in heaven who is concerned. I've got to believe, three, that He has the power to deal with all of these things that I cannot. And I've got to believe that I can leave those with Him and I don't have to worry about them anymore. That's tough to do, isn't it? But folks, that's exactly what we have to do. Father, this relationship that's in my life that isn't working out, this relationship that I'm struggling with, this one that I'm having fights in, Father, I've tried to do things with it. I've tried to heal this particular situation, and I cannot. Now I leave that totally and completely in Your hands. And You get up from that bed of prayer, and You don't think about it anymore. Not from the standpoint of being anxious and troubled and concerned and burdened with that anymore. God will deal with that. Folks, that takes deep, deep faith, does it not? But you see, prayer is one of our greatest tools in overcoming anxiety. God wants every one of our problems. Point number two, contentment. Contentment. Folks, one of the things that we constantly worry about are the things that we want, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, we finally get the things that we want, and guess what? We wish we hadn't wanted them. Individuals want nice houses. Individuals want nice cars. Individuals want this and want that, and they go into deep debt in order to get them. And finally, they have them, and guess what they're trying to do next? Sell them. Don't even need this thing anymore. Wish I'd never bought this thing. My son loves to duck hunt. He went out and bought him a boat. Not a big boat, little boat. Paid about $1,500 for it, put about another $1,000 in it. The other day I was leaving. I said, man, I like your boat. Guess what he told me? You won't buy it? He don't need the boat anymore. I don't need this boat, Dad. But isn't that what we do? Then we wonder, how in the world are we going to pay for all this stuff? And we've got all these burdens on us, folks. The Bible says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says this, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am to therewith be content. Philippians 4 verse 11. Notice what Paul says. I have learned to be content. Folks, sometimes we've got to learn contentment, don't we? Oh, I'd love to have a new car. Don't go buy a new car. Be content with the mom for a while. Oh, I sure could use a huge house. Be content with your little cottage. And just learn to be content with it, folks. Today we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got desktop computers, laptop computers, pad computers, and your little phone's a computer now, don't you? Everybody thinks they got to have all four, and they don't even know when to use any one of them. You don't believe it? Go to the airport and watch them. Laptops open, iPad in one hand, phone in the other hand. You wonder, what in the world are you doing? I just get anxious watching them, trying to balance all them things. Folks, we need to learn to be content with what we have. Oftentimes, Kathleen, she'll ask me, want or need, want or need? I hate that sometimes. But isn't that what we need to ask ourselves? Paul says, having what? Food and raiment. Let us be therewith content. You see, sometimes we just have to learn. This is the way life is. This is the way life has handled my situation. This is what I am. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to have. And I'm going to learn to be content. If things change later, if things get better later, fine. But if they don't, guess what? It's okay. I'm not going to fret myself and worry myself sick over those things. Contentment, folks. You want to know what one of the definitions of contentment is? ease of mind. When you and I quit worrying about the things of the world, guess what happens? We have an ease of mind, don't we? It's not a big deal anymore. It's not a problem anymore. And what a wonderful situation we find ourselves in. Contentment. Point number three, obedience. We talked about last week how that sin causes us to violate the will of God. And when you and I as Christians do that, we now find that our practice has come in direct conflict to our proclamation. We proclaim that we are followers of God. We proclaim that we love God. We proclaim that we stand for God. We proclaim that we're serving God. Then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in sin. Sometimes, habitually in sin. Constant practice of sin. And we wonder why in the world we're miserable. Folks, your profession and your practice don't measure up one with another. Here I am, I proclaim that I am an individual who loves truth, and yet I'm lying to individuals. Folks, your practice and your profession aren't matching. I proclaim to the world, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm a saint, I'm holy, and I love purity. And yet we engage in forms of immorality. My practice is not matching my profession. Joshua, speaking to the children of Israel years ago, says this: but serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And forsake the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 14. Folks, some of us need to back up in our lives and we need to resolve again, I am going to serve God, period. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to get off in this sin. I'm not going to get off in that sin. I'm going to quit blaming other individuals as to why I am in sin. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. When you make up your mind to do that, you're going to find a burden lifted off of you. Because now what happens? My profession and my practice match with one another, don't they? The Bible says this in Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they that love thy law. Isn't that something? Folks, it doesn't just say peace have they that love thy law. It begins, great peace have they that love thy law. You want to have peace in your heart? Folks, do what the Word of God exhorts you to do. Be obedient unto your God. Point number four. Develop an awareness of the presence of God. Hebrews 11:27 says this: by faith, he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now listen. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Isn't that something? Folks, sometimes we forget, don't we, that God is near unto us, don't we? Write down Acts chapter 17, verse 27. There the Apostle Paul is talking to those individuals on Mars Hill. And he says this: if haply they will seek after him and find him, for he is not very far from every one of us. Isn't that something? Folks, God is near. If I can keep my faith to such an extent to know that God is near, that he is aware of all that's going on in my life, what a strength that will provide for me. Here I am in the midst of chaos, but God is near and there is peace. Here am I in a situation where I'm weak, but God is near and there is strength. Here I am in a situation where all of my enemies surround me. But I know God is near and there is strength, folks. We've got to rely upon the awareness that God cares for us and that he's ever watchful over all of our situation. And I've got to remember that God surrounds me at all times. If I can keep that, what a wonderful, wonderful power I have at my disposal, don't I? So the awareness of the Almighty God. A fifth thing that we need to develop is this. Take one day at a time. One day at a time, folks. Write down Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Take no thought for the morrow. That's what Jesus said. For the morrow will take thought of the things thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So oftentimes we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, aren't we? And folks, the very minute that you start worrying about tomorrow, guess what? You lose sight of today. There are a lot of individuals who ruin today because they are so concerned about tomorrow. There's a couple of facts you need to remember about tomorrow. Number one, tomorrow may never come. Now, ain't that a hoot? Here I am, all bent out of shape, all worried about tomorrow, and I die today, and tomorrow never comes. Why am I all worried about tomorrow? Secondly, many of the things that I worry about with regard to tomorrow never happen. You know that? They never happen. Isn't that something? Here I am, just can't hardly stand it. Agitated, been out of shape, beating everybody up around me about something that's going to happen tomorrow. I get up tomorrow, and guess what? It doesn't happen. I've had a miserable yesterday because I was worried about tomorrow today. Now, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? Folks, here's something else you need to understand about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be today soon enough. Want it? It'll be here. I'll guarantee you. If the Lord lets you live, tomorrow's coming, isn't it? So don't worry about tomorrow. You can do that when? You can do that tomorrow. Worry about today. Today, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Folks, don't ruin your todays by fretting about your tomorrows. It's a waste of time. Number six, you and I need to do everything we can to surround ourselves with competent counselors, folks. Proverbs 11:14 says, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. I've got decisions that need to be made. I've got choices that are right here in front of me. And I've never had to make these choices before. This is the first time I've ever seen these. This is the first time that I've ever had to contemplate this. But guess what? There are individuals out there who have been in that situation who've had to make those decisions. You see, when I have those kind of decisions and I don't know what to do, guess what that does? That fills me with anxiety, doesn't it? And yet individuals don't want to seek the help of other individuals. And yet the Bible plainly says, in a multitude of counselors, there's safety, folks. You need to surround yourself with individuals, number one, that are wise. You need to surround yourselves, number two, with individuals who are trustworthy. And you need to surround yourself with individuals who are godly in nature, who know the Word of God, who are not going to steer you in ways that God would not have you to go. And here's something we always think. But if I go see a counselor, I got to do just what he says. No, you don't. No, you don't. I can show you 1,000 cases of people come to me as a counselor and they knew a thing I said. You don't have to do nothing. Do you? But folks, there's some people out there who can direct you. And when you get two or three or four or five or six individuals and they're telling you, no, you don't need to do this, or yes, that would be fine to do that, guess what that does? That decreases the anxiety that I have in my life, doesn't it? Folks, find yourself some people you can trust and do the things that they exhort you to do. Why do you think God gave you two parents, folks? They've only got 20 or 30 years on you. You know it? They've only walked down paths that you are walking down 20 years ago. Oh, they don't get what I'm going through. Oh, yes, they do. They had parents they thought were pretty dumb, didn't they? They had all the temptations that you have, not in exactly like form, but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They went through that, folks. They've been in good relationships. They've been in bad relationships. They've had to make some tough decisions in their life. Why do you think God gave parents to children? To wise counselors who can assist me in my walk in this life. You know what's so wonderful about a lot of children? They do what their parents say. And when they do, they live pretty good lives. Did you know that? Pretty good lives when they do. It's amazing, isn't it? In a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Point number 7. Change your thinking. Change your thinking. There's all kinds of thinking. Next week we're going to do a lesson talking about our command center. And folks, our command center is our mind. And our mind can cause us to think in all kinds of ways, can't we? Sometimes there are individuals who think very, very childishly. I've seen 40 and 50-year-old people who think like kids. It's amazing to me. Don't think like an adult. You think, what are you thinking? You're still thinking like a teenager. We have individuals out there who have just totally wrong thinking, don't they? And again, you wonder, how can you think this way? I know there were children who used to come into our care at the children's home. Thought totally wrong thinking, folks. They've been trained that way, a lot of them. Their parents had wrong thinking. And they taught them to think wrongly as well. There are some individuals who think evil thoughts on a regular basis. All this kind of thinking, some refer to as stinking thinking. Folks, the minute you start thinking like that, your life is going to be filled with problems. Did you know that? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. So you ask yourself this question: how do I know if I've got some of this stinking thinking? Folks, there are some people who think a certain way for so long that it's almost as if that's who they are. Did you know that? You bring them in, you talk to them, you can see the flaws in their thinking. You point those flaws out, they leave, and guess what? They keep doing the same thing. Why? It's become so ingrained in them that it's going to take some major work to get it out of them. Did you know that? You know what you need to do sometime? You need to just stop and you just need to write down your thoughts, folks. You know that? Oftentimes our thoughts come out in what? They come out in words, don't they? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody just followed us around all day with a tape recorder? Just listening to everything that we say. At the end of the day, they say, sit down. Listen to this. And you got to sit there for the next 4 or 5 hours listening to everything you said that day. Folks, for some people, that'd be a nasty, nasty 4-hour session. You know that? I am serious. That's the way I talk. Those are the things that I say. That's the things that I believe. Those are the things that I'm thinking and let pour out of my mouth. Folks, you need to take an inventory of what you're thinking. You'll never change your thinking till you take an inventory of what's up there. And that's hard to do. I promise you, that's hard to do. And then you've got to stop it, don't you? You've got to have some way that I tell myself, I am going to quit thinking like this. I'm not going to do this anymore. You want to know what most people need? They need somebody there to tell them that you're thinking wrong again. Raise your hand. Whatever it is, Vic, there you go. And you'd be amazed how many times you're going to hear Vic at the front. You know what? I wish you'd shut up. You've said that to me in the last 5 minutes 25 times. Well, your thinking's wrong. But folks, somebody needs to wake us up to the ways that we think sometimes. Sometimes we think negative thoughts. Sometimes we think defeatist thoughts. Sometimes we think evil thoughts. We need to get rid of those kind of things, don't we? Because our thinking can cause us unbelievable anxiety in our lives. We need to think like God wants us to think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse 7. The last thing that you and I need to do, folks, is we need to remember who in the world we are, don't we? Who we are. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. Who are we, folks? We're children of the King, are we not? We're children of the living God. We're individuals who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, every time, if I will stop and if I will try to remember who I really am, guess what that does? That immediately makes decisions for me, doesn't it? I don't have to think about the decision. I don't have to ruminate over it. I don't have to worry about it. I already know what the decision is. Why? Because I know who I am. You know, there's individuals who don't come on Sunday nights. And it has to start somewhere, doesn't it? It starts somewhere. And at first, those individuals, they say, well, should I go or shouldn't I go tonight? And they don't go. And guess what's inside of them? A lot of anxiety, is it not? Remember who you are. You're a child of God. And tonight you're going to enter into the presence of God with His family to worship Him. Remember who you are. Folks, there's no decision there. I'll be there bowing at the throne of the Almighty God. Like I said last week, the only other way you cure that is to develop an old hard heart that's so seared over that you don't worry about it anymore. Oh well. I just missed now. And there's a bunch of folks who've gotten to that point in their lives, and that's sad, isn't it? Secondly, if I can remember who I am, folks, there's no situation in my life that I need to be bothered with, do I? None. I'm a child of God. You do whatever you want to me. You can hurt me, you can torture me, you can mock me, you can kill me. I don't care what you do to me. I'm a child of God. And guess what? Once this life is over, I've got nothing to worry about ever again, folks. Ever again. Because I'm a child of the living God. Remember who you are, folks. Lessons like this for Christians are some of the hardest lessons. Did you know that? Because, folks, the reality is this. When you and I face anxiety, oftentimes it is out of a lack of faith. Did you know that? Here I am standing there shaking and trembling in fear, not able to move forward. Lack of faith. Got all these problems in my life and I just act like, oh, this is the most horrible thing in the world. I'll never overcome them. Lack of faith. And we know that, don't we? So here comes Vic. He preaches a lesson like this. Listen, that old preacher up there. Trying to tell me how to deal with this stuff in my life. People, that's the way people think, folks. He don't know nothing. He's never been through this stuff. He just throws out all these principles. I've tried every one of them. They don't help. And guess what people do? They go home. And they're still in their situation. They still have to deal with those things. And they still feel guilty, don't they? Folks, here's something we need to realize. There are some areas in our lives that are growth areas. Growth areas. I don't become a Bible scholar in 2 weeks. That's an impossibility, folks. You can study 40 or 50 years before you become the kind of scholar that you might like to be. That's a growth area. There's certain things in our lives that you and I have to constantly focus on and have to constantly battle. And over a long course of time, we get gooder and gooder, don't we? The Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. The key is not to take this lesson tonight and then tomorrow just wake up and say, "Ooh, I'm free from all anxiety." That ain't going to happen. Folks, take the principles and slowly make application of them in your lives when you get to those points. And put more and more and more trust in those things. And guess what you'll do? Over the course of time, you will deal with anxiety. Did you know that? Here's the only thing we want, folks. And I think it's the only thing that God wants. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 7. That's what God wants, and that's what we want for your life. Here's something that's interesting. There are many individuals out there dealing with a lot of problems, and they're trying to do it without God. Folks, it won't work. It won't work. Jesus said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. Maybe you're not a child of God. You don't have Him in your life at all. Folks, you can do all kinds of things in this world. And guess what? It amounts to nothing without Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a Christian. And yet for some reason you've turned your back on Jesus Christ. And you're still trying to deal with your problems and your difficulties, folks. Don't try to do that alone. Our Lord wants to help us, doesn't He? And at His throne, there is grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you and repent and come back to Him. If you're not a child of God, the steps are simple. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Now, there's a lot more to it than just that, isn't there? And folks, that individual who's immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, that individual arises from the waters of baptism, saved. And in a right relationship with God, all sins totally, completely forgiven. Maybe you need to do that tonight. Develop a relationship with our Lord and let Him help you overcome life's difficulties. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?